I will admit that I am a news junkie, a confirmed news junkie. I love reading newspapers and watching cable news. It's part of my evening ritual most evenings when I go home tonight. That's definitely what I will be doing. And I know what everybody here is thinking. Which cable channel do you watch? And guess what? I'm not going to tell you. Because if I tell you, I automatically lose half my audience. So I'm not going to tell you. I will never tell you. But, of course, I think we can all agree that whatever your news source, most all of the news reported is bad news, especially these days. Wars and trade wars and arms races, intrigue, espionage, political turmoil, economic uncertainty, violence, bloodshed, terrorism, crime, poverty, disease, addiction, violent storms, natural disasters, and the list could go on and on. We could be here all morning. Of course, bad news is news. The bad part is what makes it newsworthy and noteworthy, and definitely what grabs and holds our attention. In fact, I think you could say that we have a negativity bias. Our brains tend to react with greater sensitivity and more keen awareness of unpleasant news. When CNN announces breaking news or Fox issues an alert, it immediately grabs our attention and holds it, and they know it. That's why they do it all the time. Now, there are, in fact, different theories as to why it is we prefer bad news. Perhaps, one theory goes, it's because, despite our knowledge of history, bad news still has the ability to amaze and astonish us, to shock us. All of us live our lives in largely a stable, scheduled kind of way, and bad news breaks or intrudes in the pattern, and the intrusion is welcome. Perhaps another theory goes it's because of self-protection. We need to know about the bad news out there so we can protect ourselves. Makes sense. Or perhaps, still another theory goes, because of our fallen nature, some part of us relishes bad news. We feel better about ourselves and our situation. However difficult or dysfunctional our family, our school, our workplace, it's not that bad. It could be worse. Whatever the reason, bad news tends to get our attention and hold it. Perhaps that's why so often religion, including Christianity, has come across as negative. In trying to get your attention, teachers, preachers, pastors, priests have sometimes presented a great deal of bad news. They've emphasized sin and suffering, death and damnation, hellfire and brimstone. But while human nature is drawn to bad news out there in the world, back here at home, we're all personally hungering for some good news in our lives. Why are people so constantly checking their phones to see who's texted them next? Why am I hanging out all the time on Amazon to check out how well my book sales are doing for our new book? Because we're looking for good news. That's why. We want that intrusion of good news into our life. We're seeking cheer or joy or comfort or encouragement. Even though bad news gets our brain's attention, in our heart and soul, in the deepest part of us, we hope to hear, we hunger to hear good news. The four basic books that tell us about the life of Jesus are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all tell us the same story about his life, but from different complementary perspectives with different details. We call these books the Gospels. That word gospel is a Greek word, evangelion, which means literally to bear or bring joy. We get our English words evangelist and evangelization from evangelion. Are the five key facts to know about the Evangelion. First fact, The good news is news. The four Gospels tell us about something that never, ever happened in the whole long history of the history of the world. Unlike the breaking news we hear every day, which describes in different details the same old bad news, another fire, another war, another protest, the good news of the Gospel tells us of an event that was truly groundbreaking. In fact, all of human history turns on it. Human history is organized around it. The good news is news. Second fact about the Evangelion, it's good. It's good for us. What's so sad about some people's perception or even their rejection of Christianity is because they believe it's just more bad news on bad news. In fact, I would argue that most people who have rejected Christianity haven't really rejected Christianity, or they've rejected it for the wrong reasons. Here's how you can know if the version of the gospel that you're hearing is wrong. If it doesn't speak to your deepest desires and longings, if it sounds somehow disappointing or threatening, if when you think about it, it makes you sad or makes you feel bad or just bored, then you're not hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us and for our salvation. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's the opposite of bad and boring. The good news is good. Third fact about the good news, it changes everything. The good news is multifaceted. It changes everything about the world around us and about our lives in the world. You know, when we look back in history, certain events stand out because they changed something. And as a result of that change, history was changed. A new chapter of history was introduced. In the modern era, short list of events like that would include the introduction of the automobile, the democratization of air travel, the internet, the iPhone. Those events changed the way people lived their lives in a particular way and thereby changed a chapter in history. But from a purely historical perspective, we can see how Jesus' life and the movement of the church that he launched altered everything. It altered the course of history once and for all and forever. And on a personal level, it changes everything for us too. When embraced, the gospel changes our attitude toward life. It changes how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we perceive and deal with stress and tension and fear and doubt and pain. It changes the hopes that we have for the future. It's multifaceted. Fourth fact about the good news, it needs context in order to be appreciated. It can be missed entirely because it needs context in order to be understood and appreciated. We have to know at least something about the larger story of the history of the world, and we have to have some insight into our own history. The gospel is good news, but it's delivered in the context of bad news. The story of humanity is one we know. We rebelled against God. God created the world good. We turned our backs on God. That's the bad news. The good news is that God doesn't turn his back on us. He promised to send a Savior and Redeemer into the world, and the whole history of the Old Testament is more and more of that plan being revealed and prepared for. And the history of the New Testament, the gospel, is the fulfillment of that plan. But the promise of the Savior and the fulfillment of salvation doesn't mean much of anything at all to us if we don't understand and appreciate our need to be saved, our need for salvation, the need for this whole wide world to be saved from death and destruction, and our own need to be saved from sin and selfishness. Fifth fact about the good news, it unfolds over time. The impact of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is still being felt through the course of human history, but ultimately, it will not be fulfilled until the end of history. The good news is that God is gradually building his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we pray in the Our Father, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Those words are not random words. They're an agreement with God. History is moving toward that moment when the earth will no longer be ruled by the values of a fallen world. The good news is that God is establishing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven through the work of Jesus Christ and the cooperation of men and women in every generation. We're invited not just to receive the benefits of that kingdom, but to help in its establishment and completion. The good news unfolds over time for every generation and also personally as well. It takes time for me to grasp it, really the whole of my lifetime. I'm a work in progress, and so are you. That's what our faith and following Jesus is all about. It's why it's important for us to continue to gather together each week here at Mass and to carve out daily quiet time each and every day, to keep on connecting in small groups and serving and giving. All these steps help us grow in our appreciation and understanding of the good news. It happens gradually. We see these various aspects of the good news played out in microcosm in the passage from Scripture that we just read this morning from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and as he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So lepers were outcasts in society. They had to live outside the town or village, disconnected from the larger community. They were forced to beg to support themselves because they were not permitted to work. And that's what they're doing here. They're begging. We see in this story the elements that we've talked about when it comes to good news. First of all, Jesus comes to them. He steps into their world. He comes into their world, and his presence is immediately efficacious. It's good for them. The expression of his mercy is healing and wholeness. The healing completely changes the lepers. It changes their lives forever because they're restored to society. But look what happens next. One of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Samaritans were despised foreigners, so this guy is doubly handicapped. That he returns to the Lord suggests he's also doubly blessed. He receives healing and wholeness and then returns to the source of blessing, to the source of good news, to learn more. That's what we're going to be about in this series over the next 6 weeks. We're going to return to the source of blessings to learn more about the good news. And to do it, we're going to be focused on the Gospel of Luke and the specific ways in which Luke introduces us to the good news. And I think this is going to be an important series for us individually and as a church family. Personally, I hope that through the course of this series, you are filled with greater joy in the Lord and a deeper appreciation of the goodness and the goodwill that he has toward you and the specifics of your life. God has goodwill toward the specifics of your daily life. That's also important for us as a church family, because the more we appreciate the good news we profess, the stronger, the healthier our community can grow, and the better equipped we are to share with our coworkers and community, with our friends and family, that good news. Think about it. What if people who don't even believe in God and absolutely don't like church are attracted to our church because of how we treat one another and because how we treat them in view of the good news that we hold. So, as we start out this series, I just want to encourage you to make two commitments. One is to the series itself, to joining us here on our Ridgely Road campus or our online campus each and every weekend through the end of November. Our series ends the weekend before Thanksgiving. And consider any unchurched friends or family members you can invite to join us to hear about good news. This really is the perfect series for an unchurched person. And I tell you what, if you get them here, I promise not to screw it up. We have invitation cards that our host team will be passing out after Mass, or you can pick them up at the kiosks on the concourse, or you can send an electronic invitation from our app or our website. Second, sign up for our daily devotional, Worship Fully. It's free. We'll send it to you automatically each and every morning, first thing in the morning, bringing you good news. The very best way to start your day is with a dose of good news. The good news is that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We're stewards of that good news. The best news ever, the best news of all. We cannot, we dare not keep it to ourselves.